This episode of Comics for Fun and Profit is brought to you by Marvel Shenanigans. Is it just me, or are they purposely withholding information in the solicits in the Marvel Previews catalog? Is it possible that they would try to trick us into not knowing if it's an ongoing, a miniseries, a one-shot? Is this an experiment to see if it affects sales positively in their direction? And the heck with the comic readers need to understand what they're getting into. Is it possible that they would actually use gimmicks and tricks to inflate artificially the sales of their prospective titles? I think that's a possibility, folks. It could be that Marvel is interested in profits over my and your enjoyment. Is that crazy? You be the judge. I don't want to be the arbiter here. But as we glance through our Marvel catalog, you let me know if you see what I see. Anyway, enjoy the show. It's time once again for our winter giveaway. This giveaway is very simple to enter. Be a patron. So the easiest way to enter is go to patreon.com/comicsfunprofit. Become a patron at any level at our Patreon site, and you can do it that way. You can also enter by going to Threadless and buying some merch and tagging us in a photo of you in said merch. So if you like one of our t-shirts or hats or whatever, and you go to comicsfunprofit.threadless.com and find all our merch and like some of it, buy it, wear it. You can either tag us in social with you wearing it, or send us a photo of you wearing it and you're entered. So those are the two ways. Be a patron and buy merch. And then you get entered in our winter giveaway, which is fun swag giveaways of photos and stickers and signed comics, just like our fall giveaway was. And we had 5 lucky winners win stuff in our fall giveaway. So we're hoping to have as many entrants this time that we can give away that many again. So be a patron, buy merch, enter the winter giveaway.
Thank you for listening to Comics for Fun and Profit. This is Kyle Andrew with your sneak peek at next week, episode number 891, for comics originally coming out March the 12th and March the 13th. But before Drew and I get into what's coming up in your local comic book shops this coming Tuesday and Wednesday, Drew, you feeling better? You were a little under the weather last week, so we took a little time to recover, but boy, we're back at it.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little better. Appreciate all the cards and letters and flowers. That was great. Thank you. We're celebrating some fun anniversaries and birthdays this week. A couple days ago on the 4th, Scotty Young turned, let's see, he was born in 78, so that would make him a few years older than you, so like 44, is that what that is? Something like that? I can't do math. Collie Hamner was born on the 8th of, that's today, along with Ben Templesmith. So Ben Templesmith, same age as Scotty Young, so whatever that math turned out to be, being born in 1978. And Collie Hamner was like 54, old dude. Will Eisner, dead, but he was born on the 6th. This weekend, way back when, 1951, was the debut of Dennis the Menace.
Oh,
the comic strip by Hank Ketchum. So fun facts.
Yeah, things I did not know.
I didn't think you needed to know, but you did. So happy birthday to all you comic creators there that are entertaining us.
100%.
Yeah. Now, I know you like to jump, Kyle, to the catalogs, but what I want you to do is put the brakes on. Let's go talk to our friends over at CBSI first.
Yeah, let's head over to our good friends at comicbookinvest.com. We will find their hot 10 list, their hot 10 for March the 8th, 2024. And Drew, we're going to start out where we haven't started out in a while. We're going to start out with a ratioed Harley Quinn 37, the 1 in 50, Sebastian Fumara. Not a ton of sales on this one this week, so we paused before we decided where to place number one on the list. But given the rise in the price last week on just a couple of sales, being between 165 and 200, we knew we had to keep an eye out. And then one sold at auction with 30 bids for $310, which cemented its fate as the number one book. So we had nowhere else to put this but just the top of the list, even though it was to be a slow week. Love it or hate it, there are not many of these out there, it seems. None listed currently as of their writing. And folks were willing to spend to get it.
I don't like it. Do you like it? I don't love it, for sure.
I don't love it, you know. It's okay. 1 in 50 of a 37. But
yeah, probably not very many of them out there, right?
Definitely not. At rank two, we have Power Girl 6, 1 in 25. That's a Dan Panosian cover there. Another book from last week back on the list. They did that for us since they knew we weren't there last week.
Yeah, that's very good.
This one had a slight increase in volume, but doubled in price as Rawls are now $80. I still really like this cover, but missed out like many out there, as it also is not an easy book to find. How many copies does your LCS carry of Power Girl? Enough to get a 1 in 25?
I mean, yeah, probably easier for them to have one of these than two of Harley Quinn's,
yeah,
right?
No doubt. Yeah, 100%. At rank three, Ultimate Spider-Man number one, the third print ratio 1 in 25 with the Marco Cicchetto cover. By now, you all know our feelings on the later print incentives. So you know it's been a slow week when we put on a later print incentive. But regardless of our feelings on this, folks are willing to pay an average of $50 to $60 for this virgin variant, with a high sale even hitting $80 on a third print ratio. Here we have at rank four, the Ashcan to Feral. Can you replicate Stray Dog success? But do it with cats. It seems many are banking on that as a new series is on the way and buyers are shelling out $40 to $50 just to hang out with this little Ashcan. I'm looking forward to checking this out in a few weeks too, but I'm fine waiting for one of the dozens of cover options that are coming our way. Lord. At rank five, we have Grunge Comics Presents number one. This is a tricky one as it popped up out of nowhere as all copies were basically cleared out on 3/6, March 6, with over a dozen sold for various prices. Copies ranging from $30 to $75 were scooped up, including a high sale of $100. There is a limited edition poster only available in this comic, which adds to its collectability. But with the 30th anniversary of his passing, that would be Kurt Cobain, coming up in about a month, we would assume that is what the relations is.
Jesus, has it been 30 years?
Feel old now. Yeah, because in Utero was 94.
Lord.
At rank six, Jinx number one, Bendis. Even after last week's announcement of Bendis and Amazon working out a first look deal, including this property, the volumes aren't very high, but neither are the copies available and listed. Not a lot out there, and prices have jumped up from $15 to $30 to $40 now.
That's not bad.
No, at rank seven, giant sized Spider-Gwen number one. The 1 in 25 Betsy Cola cover. Marvel continues to release these giant size specials that also seem to include some new characters. This time out, we get Doc Ock's adopted son's first appearance. That hasn't translated into any movement on this cover, but the 1 in 25 incentive is moving above ratio, $30 to $45, almost hitting the double ratio mark that Drew and I like to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
And right in Drew's corner, at rank 8, Resident Alien 0 cover with the Steve Parkhouse cover. So copies were moving last week, but only for $15, $25. This week, that jumped to $50. We hear good things about this sci-fi series, which just started its third season after a move to Peacock. Perhaps the broader availability has turned it into a more willing buyer.
And in a continuing saga of Drew making good decisions, I always used to skip zero issues and just go with the ones because Zeros didn't have any.
Because zeros get you that much cash.
They don't have any value long term. So, and that's the one, of course, that's $50. God damn it.
Eric 9, Space Ghost Ashcan. Francesco Mattina cover. About 20 copies have sold for this mini Ashcan around the $10 to $15 range. This is not a full-size comic, but rather an undersized preview like Ashcan's back in the day. This series will not drop until May, but Dynamite is trying to generate some buzz. This one even had a high sale of $25, nearing the price of the Comics Pro edition. Space Ghost Coast to Coast, Drew.
Yeah, I never saw that cartoon.
Yeah, me neither. Errington Ultimate X-Men number one, My Girl Peach Momoko. Response has seemed to be mixed on this series as it debuts here at the bottom of the list, rather than scorching up the market like the other Ultimates in the Ultimate Black Panther. Wouldn't take that as a comment on the quality of the book, but rather the fact that FOC was after the success of those previous installments in the new universe. As such, this was probably not hard to find, and yet Cover A still sold anywhere from cover price to $16, even ending a high of $20.
I don't think Peach Momoko has proven herself as a writer yet, has she? I mean, obviously you like her artwork.
Yeah, but nothing's blown my doors off necessarily.
And she has, but I don't think she's written much of anything that's caught fire.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We shall see. Notable sales for Contact Comics number 12, an old L.B. Cole cover. Classic sci-fi may start seeming a bit of a price correction as pre-code horror has over the last few years. This L.B. Cole 6.0 sold for $8,400 this week, which was an all-time high in the grade. Add quite the bump up from last year's $3,800 sale of 2020, actually.
Wow.
And we had Adventure Comics 247, the first appearance of the Legion of Superheroes. It's a classic and shows the steady gains of the DC Silver Age. Recently, a 7.0 sold for an all-time high of $9,600, which is only slightly above its prior two sales, but it does show the consistent gains as this book is nearing the $10,000 mark.
The quality key. For sure. Now it's time for us to take a look at what our good friends at Marvel have to offer in May or March.
Yeah, we're going to head on over and look at our previews catalog. And of course, the front showing us this Blood Hunt number 2. Of course, March for May. And let's scroll down and see where they actually going to start us at. There's, of course, our Disney cover. And yes, we got Blood Hunt number 1. Jed McKay, Pepe Larraz, and looks like almost 10 covers for this.
Was Blood Hunt on the cover last month, too? Is that why they're putting Blood Hunt 2 on the cover this time?
Yeah, I want to say that. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, this is, yeah, that's right, because it has the red band additions too. With that's polybagged for our protection.
Yeah, the bloodiest Marvel event of all time.
Yeah. That checklist is extensive, bro. Extensive. It's derailing Fantastic Four.
Already?
Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And Moon Knight. Three of my favorite ongoings, right?
Dang, yeah.
So they're now going to be... So I just got Spider-Man back from Gang War.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't even seen a new one since Gang War's ended. But I hope I get at least a couple of regular Spider-Man issues. And now we're going to derail it again with Blood Hunt.
Yep. Because we got Blood Hunt 1. We have Blood Hunt 2. It's only a 5-issue series. I think we got the first list for Blood Hunt last month. So this may be them trying to double dip with it or say, please buy our stuff.
Yeah, it's so confusing.
Yeah. Then we have Dracula Blood Hunt, number 1 of a 3-issue Dan Lore written series. Midnight Suns Blood Hunt, number 1, which is the return of the Midnight Suns. Then we have Union Jack the Ripper Blood Hunt, number 1. Then we have Blood Hunters, number 1. That is Hawkeye, and it looks like Cloak from Cloak and Dagger. So that's
interesting.
Cool. I'm slightly intrigued by that.
Yeah.
Then we have Black Panther, Blood Hunt number one. Yeah, that one's a 3-issue series. Then we have Venom 33, which is a Blood Hunt tie-in with a Kraven cover, a takeoff of that Kraven cover where he's coming out of, or where Spider-Man's coming out of the
grave. That's right.
Then, Drew, we have Vengeance of Moon Knight 5, and it's a Blood Hunt tie-in.
Yep.
Then we have Avengers 14, which is a Blood Hunt tie-in. I do like that Chris Bacalo.
I knew there. You were going to like that. Everything Hawkeye. You love everything Hawkeye.
Even I like what I like.
You do. You're very
Strange pretty. Academy on Blood Hunt number one. I like them being included in that. Doctor Strange 15 is a Blood Hunt tie-in. As you talked about before, Amazing Spider-Man gets Blood Hunt number one there. Man, a lot of these authors I could care less about that are named. ASM 49, Blood Hunt tie-in. ASM 50. Not a Blood Hunt tie-in.
Not a Blood Hunt tie-in. All right. So I only get derailed for once. That's good.
Yeah. All right. And then I think that's all of the Blood Hunts. Because we've got Ultimate Black Panther number 4, where Shuri seizes the throne. Ultimate Spider-Man number 5, The Secrets of Harry Osborn. We talked about Peach Momoko a moment ago. Here's Ultimate X-Men number 3, The Mysterious Maystorm revealed. This is her origin. Venom, Separation Anxiety number 1.
Kyle, that's a Marvel retro pick, right? By the way, for those of you, yeah, for those of you at home, we all know, of course, what a Marvel retro pick is, right?
Crickets, homie, crickets.
I have no idea what a Marvel retro pick is, but that's what it is. That's what it is.
Let's read some solicits. Amazing Spider-Man legend and Venom co-creator David Michelin triumphantly returns to tell another all-new heart-pounding, brain-eating tale set in Eddie Brock's earliest days. This time he's teaming up with Venom and Death of Venomverse artist extraordinaire Gerardo Sandoval. Venom has made a new enemy and their bond will be tested like never before. When a foe with the powers to alter reality itself threatens to tear Eddie's world apart, starting with his symbiote.
Okay, so Marvel retro picks means it's old a creators. Comic. It's a comic written like when the comic used to be good. And they're returning back to the original character before they fiddled with it and made it bad. That's what the retro pick
is. When was the last time this worked? Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go back to that. Okay, cool.
Gotcha. All right. Now we have Deadpool and Wolverine World War III number one. It's WW3. I'm assuming World War, but I don't actually know.
Mm-hmm. But this is a heck of a tie-in, right?
Joe Kelly writing it, so that's good. Del Otto covers. Can't wait to see those.
But this will be on the the stands when the movie's out, right?
I think so. Oh, there's the Del Otto cover. That Del Otto cover is awesome, and Yuck Lee, awesome. Drew, I know you were worried. Window shades variants, still a thing.
Still a thing. Mm. That's great. There's no window shades in this window shades variant, by the way. I guess that's a window shade.
I guess they're saying, yeah.
Okay.
Soda.
They don't have to be the slatted shades.
Okay. Oh, you know, that's what I was going for, and then they changed it. It's weird. Ooh, this is intriguing. Doom, number one in the near future. Doom alone must save the Marvel Universe. Really cool Adi Granov cover there on that version there.
Yeah. Shout out to Professor Allen over at the Relatively Geeky Podcast Network because he is the world's number one Dr. Doom fan. And he will be all over this. He will love it and hold it and caress it.
And call it his friend.
Yeah. Looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I'll read it. Doom and Galactus, what are you going to do? Man.
Helverine. More Helverine. Helverine number one. Helverine number one being written by Ben Percy with Julius Ota. And then, ooh, from your boy Garth Ennis, Get Fury. It's 1971. There is a war raging, and Nick Fury has been captured by the Viet Cong.
Wow, that's pretty great. I mean, it's also Jason Burroughs art. And give me some Garth Ennis and Jason Burroughs together. Man, that's crossed action.
Oh, yeah. Very Man. Cool. Very cool.
Giant Size X-Men number one. That's part of that anniversary of Giant Size books. 50 years of Giant Size books, I guess.
Yeah, but continuing the trend, they keep doing the multiple covers of the Giant Sizes.
Yeah.
$7 pop. Ooh, Alex Ross cover on Avengers Twilight 6, the last of its series.
I'm really disappointed in you, Kyle, that it was a Chip Zdarsky book and you didn't read it. Or let me know that it was out. And now I'm six issues behind.
Yeah, that was my fault. My apologies. I forgot. I mean, Chip was writing quite a bit of stuff at one point in time. I just
That's true.
It got shuffled.
How did we miss it? I guess you can always go back in time and get it.
Yeah.
At least digitally.
Yep. Ghost Rider Final Vengeance number 3. The Hood Brings the Hellfire. Deadpool 2 by Cody Ziegler and Roge Antonio.
Yeah.
Kid Venom continues to really confuse me.
Spider-Man Shadow of the Green Goblin. Yeah. It's a retro pick, Kyle. It's a Marvel retro pick.
And we had to go all the way back to Sandman to find when this comic was good.
There you go. Spectacular. Given a third issue. Spider-Gwen Ghost Spider. Scantily clad Ghost Spider. Part of her Stephanie Phillips-led series. That's the 75th reboot of Spider-Gwen, I think, in the last 4 years.
I do like the cover, though.
Yeah, that's nice. Black Widow and Hawkeye hit issue 3 of 4. And that's Black Widow on the cover?
That's what I was just about to say. Saying that is the weirdest looking Black Widow. I don't know when we started covering her face.
When did that happen?
Yeah. I mean, I love them as a team, but what?
Yeah. Miles Morales, Spider-Man number 20. About time to reboot that one. That's number one. Won't be long. Superior Spider-Man.
Superior Spider-Boy.
So Dan Slott created both Superior and Spider-Boy, so he's able to combine them into any kind of combination he wants.
He says, give them here. I want them.
Yeah. More Spider-Boy. That does it for you.
Yeah, we've got a Squirrel Girl appearance in Spider-Boy.
So. Oh, yep, there you go.
Spider-Woman 7, Jackpot, and Black Cat, the penultimate.
You reading Spider-Woman?
I am not. I've never read Spider-Woman. Oh, no, I did when she was pregnant.
Yeah, yeah, that was a wonderful storyline, right?
It was actually very good.
She gives birth and has a baby, and it's really unique because I think she's the only superhero currently with a baby. I mean, I think Jessica Jones has a young daughter, but she's aged up pretty good. So she has a baby, and that's kind of a unique place to have stories in that space. And so what they do, they kidnapped the baby from her and aged it up. Hydra stole her baby and aged it up into some kind of assassin and sicked it on her. And I'm like, you guys just hate
hate families.
Mm-hmm.
Hate kids and families and children. You're as bad as those people over at the Super Sons at DC.
They're continuing to say
we cannot
have a family and be a superhero.
We can't have nice things.
No.
We just can't have nice things. Why would it have been wrong with a little family dynamic comic?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any. So what would be wrong with that?
Why start now, Drew? Why start now? Spider-Punk 404. What if Venom 4? This is Loki Venom. We have a absolutely bonkers Carnage 7 cover.
That's gross, yeah.
Yeah. Marvel Gods 8, Hickman. Ooh, Greg Land cover's good. Wait, haven't we done this before? X-Men The Wedding Special.
Sounds like we have. Yeah. Is there a Hellfire Gala before it? After or during?
Yeah. This would be the wedding of Mystique and Destiny.
Yeah.
Wolverine 49. This is part of Sabretooth War. Wolverine 50. Creed versus Logan. The end of Fall of the House of X. The end of Rise of the Powers of X. X-Men 34. Ooh, really good Kale New Invincible Iron Man cover for 18. So, Iron Man with Magneto. That's kind of rad.
Yeah.
Love the X-Men Forever cover with Nightcrawler. Mutant Menace, Weapon X. You can see they're double. So these four issue series for things like Weapon X-Men and X-Men Forever, they're double monthing them. They're getting them out of here.
That's what they're doing, you think?
You get a four issue series and you're double shipping it. I've never heard of that.
Well, but you don't really know if that's what they're doing because of the silly way that Marvel produces this catalog.
It's true.
I mean, I don't think we really know until we get to the checklist with the weekly release schedule if both of these are even coming out in the same month.
Yeah.
X-Men, can you imagine being a new comic reader now and if they wonder why they're having trouble getting new comic readers, it's because you make it so hard, to want to read comics, because if you haven't pre-ordered it, it might not be on the, it might not be there for you, but we're going to make it so complex that you have to look through 15 catalogs and you're not going to know if you ordered it last month because we're going to repeat the same entries.
We're not going to say resolicit. We're not going to put dates on anything. No. We're just going to put it back in the book.
You're either going to have a bunch of junk in here.
You're either going to have a sense of deja vu or you're going to figure it out.
Yeah, you'll figure it out or you won't figure it out. And I can barely keep up.
X-Men 97, 3 of 4. I don't know how I feel about X-Men 97 anymore.
Well, you watched it, right, back in the day?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Well, you should feel good.
Wolverine, they've took, Rogue's booty away and it just doesn't look as good. And I'm just like, I don't know.
Was her booty that prominent? I've seen the memes. Mm-hmm. Was her booty that prominent throughout that series?
It's a big thing as a teenager, Drew. It meant a lot to me.
Well, I bet. It's very nice.
Yeah. In 97, I was 15, 16 there, Drew.
So that's perfect. Yeah. That's right in the wheelhouse right there.
Yeah. Madripoor Knights 4, Cable 4 on the way out. Ooh, facsimile of New Mutants 98 again.
Ah, get my first Deadpool.
A new printing.
Because it's been out.
Okay, so one of our jokes is coming true, Drew.
Uh-huh.
We talked about Secret Wars. Eventually, they're going to facsimile or talk about collectability for every single issue of that 12-issue series. Yep. we're rolling out five now, so we literally are.
Is five that. The one that was in the Deadpool trailer?
It might have been. Facsimile for Avengers Annual 10.
So they're putting out every facsimile of Secret Wars for a reason, right? So by the time that movie comes out, they'll all be in circulation.
At least, I'm guessing. Yeah. Immortal Thor 10. Immortal Thor 11. Captain Marvel 8. So Captain America now has a see-through shield. Interesting. Captain America 9. Ultra Boy Straczynski. Power Packs ending.
It does look kind of transparent, doesn't it?
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four, number 20.
Not a Blood Hunt crossover. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness.
She-Hulk 8. Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver 4, that issue that's ending. Ooh, cool Marguerite Savage cover.
Yeah, that looks pretty good. I like that. It's ending, huh?
Yeah. Daredevil 9.
Yeah, okay.
And so Daredevil 9, it says washed in blood, not Blood Hunt. It's not good. It's not.
So it's not a crossover. Yeah. Good, good, good.
Predator Last Hunt 4, Alien Black, White, and Blood 4.
Now, I read that first Alien Black, White, and Blood, and, you know, it's cool. It was cool because it was a three-story anthology, so it was not that many stories, three 10-pagers or so, and first two were really good. And so, you know, like, you get, like, those 8 and 10 story anthologies and your hit rate's not very good, but you keep it short, yeah you can get a majority of them, you don't have a lot invested. Pretty good. If anybody was asking, Drew, what do you think about anthologies?
Our good friend Porn Sack Pinochet writing on that.
Yeah, I'm Alien, sure that's exactly if. How his mom pronounced it when she gave him.
Mm-hmm. Star Wars The Phantom Menace 25th Anniversary Special Number 1, because everybody wants more Phantom Menace. But we want my boy Darth Maul, Star Wars Darth Maul Black, White, and Red Number 2, Mayhem at the Moonbender Colony.
So it's 25 years since Phantom Menace came out. Mm-hmm. So Kurt Cobain shoots himself, and five years later, we get the Phantom Menace. Coincidence? I don't know.
Star Wars: The High Republic 7, part of Phase 3, a very cool Anakin and Ahsoka variant by Phil Noto on that cover. Star Wars 46, Jango Fett 3, Mace Windu.
Can you imagine 4. If like under the Christmas tree, you get Anakin's mom action figure.
Just thinking the same.
That's
thing.
The action figure you get.
Yeah,
I would be so bummed.
You get Slave Girl 6.
Man,
Drew, for just $100, you can have the Moon Knight by Jed MacKay omnibus hardcover.
That's all of it, huh?
30 issues plus the annual, plus another annual, plus Avengers 45.
Why do you got 45? What is that rando in there?
I remember when Moon Knight was in Avengers 45.
But it was in, wasn't he in a whole arc?
Mm-hmm. But they're only giving you the front.
They're just going to give you one. All right, whatever.
All right, Marvel's got a lot of stuff coming out.
Anything at the end that was interesting?
It was all. I like, literally, as I was doing it, I'm like, I've seen all these before.
You just blew through like 60 pages.
Should I not have?
No, I'm just looking. Sometimes they do something interesting. We get the 50th. Okay, we got the 50th anniversary or 50th issue of Amazing coming up. And, that Deadpool World War III deal. They're making a big thing out of it. So I'm just looking at the release dates. And Kyle, they are all in April.
Yep.
So, I mean, I guess they're all in April except for a couple of Blood Hunts, which are in March.
Blood Hunt 1 is in March.
Yeah. But everything else is looks to be released, yeah, in April. Nothing in May. Okay. So it's not that full of shenanigans, I guess. Sure feels like it, though. Yes. We'll leave this behind. We'll leave Marvel behind. I was unimpressed. But if you are interested in that Blood Hunt thing, you're probably just excited. But I am not. I know I said that about Gang War, but I am not excited about Blood Hunt. Now I will release you, Kyle, to go over to our good friends at Cover Price.
Yeah, no shenanigans will ever be abound for our good friends at CoverPrice.com. Let's start with our number one book, Ultimate Spider-Man, number 2, the regular cover. While the value of Ultimate Spider-Man number 1 is soaring to the moon, fans are picking up the rest of the series. While the first issue doesn't show signs of dropping in value, the second issue is much more attainable. It is a fair value and is still a key book. The book features the full in-story appearance of Earth 6160 Spider-Man and Shocker. This book is pulling its weight by taking the number 1 spot without relying on any MCU news whatsoever. Just a darn good story. 76 copies in the secondary market, a high of $16 and settling into $14 already.
That's pretty good.
We still have issue 1, the regular Marco Giacchetto cover for Ultimate Spider-Man, still selling good. Another 57 copies, a high sale of $240 for CGC 9.8. Rawls are over $100 on this book, Drew. That's crazy.
That's what? Wait a minute. It's up to $125 for Raws?
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts. That is nuts.
Yeah, that's just your cover, eh?
That's great. Just great.
At rank 3, we have Edge of Spider-Verse, the surprise cover. As mentioned earlier, this book is the debut of Weapon 8, a spider-powered individual that existed before Weapon X, a.k.a. Wolverine. While his debut is featured on the cover by Chad Harden, this variant is outpacing that cover appearance. If there is one thing that collectors loves, it's rarity, and this book was not an open order book. Instead, it was a surprise variant that Marvel sent to comic shops. Local comic shops received between 1 and 3 copies of this variant to sell to customers, making it much harder to find in the wild. We tracked 74 copies. I sell of $50, settling to $41.
I bet you our boys at Cowabunga got allocated to the 3 because they're heavy Marvel sellers.
Absolutely. Now, rank 4, we talked about Ultimate Black Panther number 1. Still the regular cover on that one. Still 58 copies moving on that one. My thing is up to $32. And from 2001, we have New X-Men 114. I remember that cover.
Yeah.
The Deadpool 3 trailer debuted as many enthusiast fans. Sorry, I'm choking at the moment. The anticipation of the movie was high before, but the trailer took it to an all-new level. As fans dig through the trailer, they discovered evidence to support rumors and theories that have been floating around. In the case of Cassandra Nova, many fans are speculating that the bald-headed head emerging from the shadows was this villainess. This was enough to breathe new life into this book. We saw 54 copies move on the secondary market. CGC 9.8 for $160, and Near Mints going for $17.
They were doing some digging, man. Nice.
Yeah. We talked about Weapon 8 here. We also have this Edge of Spider-Verse number 1. This is the Chad Wayne Harden regular cover, open order cover. 52 copies moved of that one. $18 for Raw, so was the high, and settling into $14. At rank 7, we have Pearl number 1, the Alex Maleev cover. Brian Mike Ben, this an illustrator. Mikhail Gallados brought to life a tattoo artist assassin. It is an intriguing concept, and Bendis has a huge following. This book has not been a high mover in the past few years. However, as with the most books these days, a recent announcement has sparked a renewed fire and interest. Bendis and Gallegos have begun working with showrunner Chris Collins to produce a TV show for Amazon. Following this announcement, we see an increase in sales in the aftermarket, tracking 18 copies. CDC 9.8 for $50, $7 book.
Not my favorite of the Bendis releases, but we'll see how it goes. Maybe it'll be better in TV.
Yeah, at rank 8, X-Men Adventures number 1 from 1992. Harley Quinn debuted in the 1992 animated series. She became an instant hit, and it didn't take long before she was featured in more episodes and then jumped to her first comic appearance. Morph follows as a similar role, but a bit less popular. His character was first created for the X-Men animated series, killed off in the very first episode, and brought back to life by Mr. Sinister. Morph eventually migrated to comic books and has been a staple member of the X-Men. As we get ready for this new series, fans are grabbing this easily attainable key. 30 copies sold, CGC 9.8 for $190, and Near Mint Rawls for $13.
What's your favorite Morph memory, Kyle?
I just remember people saying his name and just Morph.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah. I don't know him very well.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, he's essentially just changed his shape.
Yeah.
Avengers Twilight number 1, Alex Ross, regular cover. Boom. They say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. This statement couldn't be more wrong when looking at Tony Stark's son, James. While he officially debuted in this issue, it wasn't until issue 3 that we saw his own Iron Man armor. In this world, James Stark runs the cyberpunk future alongside his mentor, Kyle Jarvis, a.k.a. the Red Skull. With the positive reception of the Disney Plus series, what if there could be a time when we see the debut of the villainous and James in the MCU? On the smallest chance that could occur, fans are already scooping up his first appearance. 25 copies, $18 book. And X-Men 221 from 1987. We're less than 3 weeks away from the debut of X-Men 97. Fans initially thought this project was the first to involve mutants in the MCU. However, Bo DiMaio took to Instagram to confirm that it has no connection to the MCU. The first two episodes will debut March 20th, and fans are hyped. Last year, we learned that Mr. Sinister will return as a featured villain in the series, and collectors have been scooping up his first appearance since then. As we get closer and closer, we tracked 21 copies, $300 for CGC 9.8, $48 book.
So is this animated series going to be on Disney Plus or another streamer?
Disney Plus, if I remember correctly.
So they have the rights to animated X-Men, but not live-action X-Men? Seems weird, right?
Yeah, very weird.
At rank 11, we have Pearl number 1 again. You saw why. 60 copies of this sold. $75 for a CGC 9.8 and Raw's around $9. Cargirl 6. The Dan Panosian we talked about that was number 2 over on the CBSI list is selling here. It's saying 29 copies sold and sold for a high of $52 for a Near Mint Raw. We got Jinx number 1 from Caliber Press in 1996. Another Bendis book sold 11 copies with a Near Mint Raw of around $14. At rank 14, we have Captain Atom number 1 from 1986. I do remember this one vaguely. It's the first appearance of his new costume. And this is going to be some kind of James Gunn character, probably. 21 copies sold, high sale of $160 for a CGC 9.8. Raw's around $17. Dead X-Men number 2, the 1 in 25 by Carmen Carnero, comes in at rank 15. This is a Dazzler-centric cover. And we sold 17 copies of that with a high sale of $50 for a Near Mint Raw. Oh my goodness, Jurassic League number one comes in at rank 16. The wow. DC property is hot because a rumor that this might get an adaptation and an animated film in the works. 20 copies of this garbage with a high sale of $70 for a CGC 9.6 and Raw's around $4. That's cover, folks.
Of all the things to be doing.
Yeah. Ultimate Fantastic Four number one from 2004 comes in at rank 17. All the Ultimate Universe has been the rage, so this is no different. The Maker is in this, and he's very popular. This one sold 16 copies with a high sale of $78.90, but Raw's going for around $8, so you can grab some. Avengers Twilight number 2, we talked about this. It comes in at rank 18. 26 copies sold, high sale of around $19.95 for an Air Mint Raw. William Gibson's Neuromancer. Neuromancer, is that how you pronounce that? Comes in at rank 19. This is from 1989.
Oh, wow.
And Apple TV is snapped this up. And so it's selling 11 copies with a high sale of $100 for a Near Mint Raw, which seems high for a
It's Raw. Interesting.
Must not be too many of these out there. I don't know that I would know it if I saw it. And rounding out the top 20, we have Spawn 122. I can't be right. It says it's from 1992. Is that? That's not possible. So this must be thrown. This is Spawn 1.
Spawn 122 is a 2003 book.
Okay. It's not 1992. Okay. Yeah. That really threw me off.
Yeah. Spawn series is 1992. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The NYX was in this. She's Spawn. And so this is her first appearance. 9 copies of this sold with a high sale of $110 for CGC 9.6, but Raw is around $47. A little snag for me there. Got thrown off my game. Sorry about that, folks. I don't like when the numbers don't add up. You know, you saw my strong math skills on display earlier. It means a lot to me.
strong work, my friend. Strong work.
Yeah. What are we looking for? 312 books?
Mm-hmm.
We're now looking at books that came out on 312 for yes. Lunar.
Yep, we're heading over to Lunar Distributions for our sneak peek at next week, looking at the March 12s things. And we're starting with Action Comics 1063.
Kind of love the cover B. You got Clark Kent on the left side. Soup on the right side. You see him being a little schlubby, a little slunched over, and you see the difference in how people could not know who that he was Superman. This is why.
There you go.
Look very different.
Batman and Robin 7, love the Derek Chu cover on that one. Fables is ending, Drew. 162 of 162.
Yay. And Batman Dylan Dog is... What did we decide this was? This was... Like, really about Bob Dylan? It wasn't, was it?
No.
No. It's just called Dylan Dog. Okay. Yeah. I think that's enough Batman books. I am excited to read that 1939 thing, though. The first night. I'm excited mm-hmm. about that one.
Red Hood the Hill.
I do have that Red Hood. Is it Zero Issue, I think, is out?
You don't read Zero Issue.
Well, back then I didn't.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. I've learned to expand my mind.
Suicide Squad Dream Team number one.
Teen Titans Year One trade paperback. That's interesting.
Looks like Mad Magazine for a second, I thought.
Yeah, that's true. I could see that. Not a lot there. A little thin. Let's see what's over at 313. Selling on a Wednesday. Wonder how much longer DC is going to be on Tuesday. Weren't they moving back to Wednesdays? Didn't we hear?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've heard that. Nothing.
Yeah, you don't follow me on Twitter.
On X, you mean?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be on Twitter for a while because I can't. Old habits die hard.
G.I. Joe 301, third print. G.I. Joe 302, third print. G.I. Joe 303, second print.
Wow, good for them. You know? Mm-hmm. That's great.
And that's the old legacy stuff.
That's the old legacy stuff. So good for Larry Hama.
Yeah. Napalm Lullaby.
Okay, I kind of like that B cover. Oh, it's a Rick Remender book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dystopian epic. Double length first issue. Ooh, a lot to like about that.
Speaking your language.
Yes, it is.
One hand going to a second print from Image Comics. Rom V on that.
Ooh, our Bones Dust is finishing up. That's been really good. Sparse read too, Kyle. So if you see that trade out there in the wild, now that all four are out for a reasonable price, you'll be able to blow through that thing in like 10 minutes.
Very good.
You could just read it at the bookstore, probably, and then put it right back.
Oh, they love it when you do that.
They do.
Ooh, encourage Skeeter. It. Skeeters, number four. Skeeters is ending through.
Yeah, that's true. Red Light. Gonna have to wait till the 24th or so of April for the final issue. It's really good.
Transformers number six. Let's head on over to Previews World, Drew. Oh, Displaced number one coming out with a second print as well.
Ooh, Pine and Merrimack at issue three. That's cool. Where you at? Back in Marvel now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went through Boom, and I am checking through Marvel. Catching
your fancy.
Alien, Black, White, and Blood, number two there. The issue one of course, Black Widow and Hawkeye we talked about.
Giant-sized Spider-Gwen's got a bunch of villain heads on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool. I hope Ms. Marvel does okay. Now that she's back, and they stop messing around with her, killing her off. Spectacular Spider-Man.
What day are you on?
I might be on the wrong day. I was wondering why everything looks so familiar.
Yeah, I'm on the March 13th.
I'm on there now. Okay. On there now.
Nope, just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I was wrong. I was like, man, I think I've read this book. How did I read this book? It's already been out. No, we just have to start all over, Kyle, because I was behind.
Oh, good. Star Wars Mace Windu number two. Symbiote Spider-Man number one, giving us another Miss Minutes cover. The Ultimate Black Panther number two coming out, and then giving us also a second print of issue one. My boy Boss Logic doing another banger cover for Ultimate Black Panther 2.
Ooh, Dynamite's giving us the Thundercats number two. That was good. Like, I liked the first one. Gave me all the nostalgia feels.
Lucio Perillo on that Chitara cover. Really good.
She do something for you like that Rogue?
Not quite there.
Not quite the same.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Couldn't reach the mute button.
Mine didn't work the last time I was coughing. So as I was like struggling to push it, I was even closer to the mic when I coughed the last time. What is Bristle Mouth Cove Horror number one? It is a SQ Mag Party Limited. What the heck? Hayden Fryer doing writing, art, cover. A cancer survivor book. This story is for fans of Children of the Woods, like an introspective take on Evil Dead. Okay.
All right.
I see you.
From Dark Horse and King, Helen of Windhold.
Oh, that's yeah. Ooh, I like that Bilquis Evely, man. That's good art, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never did read their Supergirl, though. Do you think I'd like this if I didn't read that?
Yes.
Because it's a different subject. Gothic Sword and Sorcery. That's Conan, right?
I would think so.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. But it's pretty, pretty covers. My goodness.
From Image Comics, we have The Last Mermaid. No, this is the mermaid that's in the mech.
Yeah, Mech Mermaid. That's awesome.
From AWA, we have a Little Black Book, number one of a 4-issue series from Jeff McComsey and Chris Ferguson. Don't miss out the start of this hard-boiled neo-western thriller.
Yeah, they've got some cool covers, man. Gonna be, yeah, that's, I think The Living Dead just keeps on cranking out number ones, don't they? Over and over again.
From Gemstone Publishing, we have Maui Mighty Comics, number one. After the headlines have faded, the effects of the disastrous Maui fires are still being felt. Number One Comics has responded with Maui Mighty Comics, a fundraiser comic, with all proceeds going to Maui Relief.
Well, we will pick that one in honor of Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Jason would pick that, so we will pick that for him.
Actually, I believe Jason sent us a pick, and it's not that.
Did he send a pick this week or last mm-hmm. week when we were sick?
Oh, one of the two.
Oh, look. What was his pick? His pick for 3-6 was Barry Gifford's Night People.
That was last week.
That was this plug because he's doing an interview with Chris Condon from Oni Press on Night People. So kind of a self-serving pick if you want to know the truth. But we'll allow it. We'll allow. That's like me saying, who's your favorite Kyle? Well, my brother.
I would like to know your answer to that. I don't believe it's as set in stone as you think it is.
I actually stopped at Napalm Lullaby again. I was like, ooh, this looks good. Yeah, no kidding. You already looked at it. Dummy.
Man, I love that cover on Transformers 6. It was so good.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Who is it?
Where that's Prime just sitting there dead.
Oh man. Yeah, I see it. I see it now. Floating World Comics says Vengeance is for the Living. They're number one. Keenan Marshall Keller doing the writing on that. It's $8, so
from Massive Comics, we have Washed in the Blood, number one, by Kevin Rotatelli and Bob Cannon Costas Pantaloas with a Josh with several.
Jeez, a lot of names in there.
Yeah.
Struggling.
A tale inspired by Mad Max, Hellraiser, Fallout, and the filmography of David Cronenberg.
I like a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I like a lot of those things.
With Massive's take on Black Mirror with a post-apocalyptic twist. Witch Hammer, number one. That's they're popping back. With an incentive cover, is all they're doing there. All right, Drew, this is the boy of the podcast. We're asked for your pick of the week. What's the one comic to make sure you head to your local comic book shops and say, I gotta have it?
Ooh, okay. So, I was leaning towards Napalm Lullaby.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I want to go, like, super low print run on Bristle Mouth Cove Horror.
Oh, wow.
From SQ Mag.
Wow.
PT Limited by Hayden Fryer.
Interesting. Of course, we're featuring our good friends with the Maui Mighty Comics, number one from Gemstone Publishing, an $8 book with all proceeds going to Maui Relief. I'm looking at this Last Mermaid number one from Image, as well as Helen of Windhorn as the Tom King Dark Horse.
Yeah, that's pretty.
That I'm going through, and I'm kind of just going with The Last Mermaid, because it's super, super, super well done. And I like the idea of a water-based creature that is in a mech in a desert. So, Derek Kirk Kim doing it all himself. Let's check this series out.
Is it a square book?
It looks like a square book, yeah.
Okay. I hate those, usually, because they don't fit right.
Yeah, correct.
But, you know, I do applaud them for trying different shapes, but they just don't fit in the boxes, right?
We know Drew needs things to fit in a box.
They need to fit in the box right, man.
Yeah. We want to thank you for tagging along with Drew and myself as we meander all through the items coming out this March 12th and 13th. If you want more Drew and myself, head on over to patreon.com. Yep, 100% forgot the days. Especially since you were thrown on different days earlier.
Are you still blaming me for that for 2 weeks ago?
Might be doing that. If you want more banter back and forth and this overall conversation from Drew and myself, head on over to patreon.com, search Comics for Fun and Profit, become part of the gang. Hopefully Drew and I will get to see a few more movies and shows, do a few more of our reviews. I've been quite enjoying doing those kind of things. Even though I think Drew uses it as just an excuse to be sick on a pod and throw one of those up, but that's okay. So for Drew and for myself, see ya.
You like cheap comic books, right? Well, I'm Professor Allen, and I talk about cheap comic books on the Quarterbin Podcast. In every episode, I'll dissect a single comic from my collection, as long as I paid no more than 25 cents for the issue. Forget about $4 new comics that you can read in 4 minutes, or crossover events that can cost $100 to collect. Join me in the Quarter Bin, where even bad comics are a bargain, and good ones are a steal. The Quarter Bin Podcast is part of the Relatively Geeky Podcast Network. Visit us at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com, or search Relatively Geeky or Quarterbin Podcast on iTunes. I guarantee it'll be worth every penny.